Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
And this is going to be Marv Albert's last Knicks game ever. Is this your last Knicks game, Marv?
Yes.
Do you think they play better?
Yes.
Do you really think they could play any worse?
Yes. Yes.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
Yes. Yeah, we are 3.5 minutes away from the end of the Knicks season. The Hawks lead the Knicks 96-80. And they have done nothing but continue to run away from the Knicks third quarter into the fourth quarter. It has just been an eye-opening series for the Knicks. And, you know, here's where I'm at, Mike Harmon. I'm not that upset because clearly the Knicks weren't ready for this playoff, right?
No, it was clear they were done. It was just a matter of when. But yeah,
the difference in regular season success versus playoff success is something now the Knicks know about, because the Knicks clearly thought, we're going to go in, play our hard-nosed defense, do what we've done all season, and we're playing a team that we beat three times in the regular season. Never mind that they had big players out, and every time they played against them,
we're going to go do this.
And this is how it's going to be. And in the first round of the playoffs, things got different because the Atlanta Hawks knew we got to take away Julius Randle. They did. Julius Randle didn't. It was unexpected. He didn't know. He looked lost the first couple of games in the series. He's played better the last couple of nights, but he looked lost in the beginning when Atlanta took hold of the series. The Knicks got one win and had a big party and everything was great. We want Brooklyn. All these things happened when it was clearly the Hawks were the team that were more playoff ready. And look, what do I say all the time? The NBA playoffs is about the stars. And when your stars play better, they're going to win. And the Hawks stars played better. Trae Young was the best player in the series. You know, he didn't go for 40 in any game, didn't have any of those crazy-ass nights like he had during the regular season. But he did enough. He scored enough. He dished the ball out enough. He was a guy that the Knicks just could not handle, especially when you thought, well, defensively, that's going to be their strong point. The rest of the team, they held down. You know, they're holding Atlanta well below their season average, but it doesn't matter because Trae Young was enough, and the Knicks all just threw up on themselves when it got to the playoffs. They couldn't trust anybody to score. You know, once you get outside of Julius Randle, it's R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett can't hit a shot. You're relying on Derrick Rose, who, come on, dude, I'm 32, man. I haven't played these kind of minutes in a long time. So it's not that stunning. It's not that shocking that this is where it's at. But I will maintain to you, Mike, and I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this right now. What I said about them in the middle of the season, the end of the season, and right now is true. The Knicks are one star player away from being a legit NBA Finals contender. They need a scorer, need a small forward shooting guard who can come in, light up the scoreboard, and be that guy. Because you can't rely on a power forward to take you through and say, well, our offense is going to run through him. He's going to take us through all the way in the playoffs. No, you still need something else. And the Knicks clearly have a good supporting cast, but they didn't really have anything else. And so now you get that one star, talking to you, Kawhi Leonard, you, Bradley Beal, even you, Norman Powell. Hey, anybody wants to come in, come in, come be the star. Come be that guy that can score 30 points, can score 27 points. Once the Knicks get a small forward or a guard who's someone that handles the ball and scores, I'm telling you, the Knicks are going to be an overnight NBA title contender, and now the rest of the league sees that. So even though I'm bummed and I'm pissed that they're going home, and every time I see Trae Young go, shh, I want to just reach through the TV and grab him. Every time he dribbles the ball, he just goes, shh. Even in timeouts, he's going, shh. It makes me go crazy. That's how close the Knicks are. They are that close to being an NBA title contender, and they can easily fix that in the offseason. And it was a great year, and I'm excited for next year. I'm excited who they could get in the offseason. So here I am with everything else here. I can't be that bummed about a bad Knicks playoff loss in June, because I never thought they'd even get to June in the playoffs. But here we are. But really, they are that one star player away, and they are a legit NBA title contender in the East.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting place for this offseason to come. I mean, you got to be excited. Garden was rocking again today. Here's the bottom line. You held the Hawks as of right now, as I talk to you live and in living color across our great Fox Sports Radio network, they held them to 41.9% shooting. The only problem is they only shot, what, 35, 36% themselves. So the defense was still getting it done. You just have no shooters. And Derrick Rose turned back into a pumpkin. Right? 27 minutes tonight, 3 of 11 from the field, 6 points. R.J. Barrett, a couple of buckets late that's going to create a great stat line, but was invisible when it counted. And Julius Randle, it became the, okay, he can get his. The rest of these guys aren't going to show up to play. It's kind of what the Blazers did with Nikola Jokic early in their series was, all right, we're going to limit the playmaking. He can score at will. And now you see with Randle, 8 of 21, he's got 23-13. It's a great stat line. It's all fine and good. And a nice base for what's to come. And to your point, getting back on the stage, other than folks having to realize how much it's going to cost them to be in New York. So they've got to make sure.
That's a lot now. Hey,
well, but they've got to make sure all those, yeah, all those ancillary things of, you know, shoe deals and other endorsements really need to be ferreted out long before you think about going to the Knicks. But the reality is in the Eastern Conference, you can be relevant. You can get right back into the mix. They were a 4-5. We talked about Atlanta pretty shortly after McMillan took over as a, hey, look out if this team gets it together. And to your much to your chagrin, Capella showed up in fine form. You got Trae Young taking a bow at center court. But Capella had 14, 15, only credited with 2 blocks. A lot of alterations, a lot of adjustments made down low. He's been an absolute terror. So he backed up his words. And the shots fired in a big way here in Madison Square Garden. But I like the future of what this team could be. They've seemed to have bought into Thibodeau, at least from season one. We'll see, you know, if season two, that it becomes a grind and guys start to grouse about it or a little bit. Because that's the other thing. As you go shopping for free agents, you got to find someone that wants to buy into that mentality, right? And that's the other part of it. There's no days off when it comes to Tom Thibodeau. You're going to play, and you're going to play hard on both ends of the court. But fun series, I thought. I mean, even though it goes down 4-1, they fought. They still played their defense, and to this game they got physical. They tried to muddy it up a little bit and slow it down, unfortunately, a bit too much. Even if Trae Young didn't shoot particularly well, still finished with 36.
Right. Look, like I said, it's stars. Stars win. Look at all the different series going on right now. Whose stars are better? That's who's winning, right? Trae Young was the best player in the series. Still didn't have a great Trae Young-type series. He didn't shoot particularly well, but still, he's averaging close to 30 points a game for the series. I mean, he was better. He was the best player on the floor. The Knicks had no answer for him. That's why you need a star. And that's why it's easy. It's like they should go on a big summer tour now. You know, just take the Knicks from town to town in the NBA, visit stars at their home, just have the big Knicks bus pull up and Tibbs comes out and Randle comes out and Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett come out and go, hey, what's going on, Kawhi? Just come out and say hello. Just come, hey, would love for you to join us. You got that player option, man. Hey, just come out and say hi. All right, we're getting back in the Knicks bus. The Knicks bus leaves and they're playing back in the New York groove and then they drive to somebody else's hometown. Hey, Bradley Beal. Hey, come on, dude. How you doing, man? Hey, you want to come play with us? It's the great Knicks tour. Come on, shoot some hoops with us. Then they bust out some kind of retractable hoop and they're playing right in front of Bradley Beal's house. He's playing some pickup with them. All right, hey, come join us. Hey, we gotta go. We gotta go see some other people. I mean, really, this is what the Knicks need to do over the summer. They can now sell themselves as, hey, we're a destination. Look how good we are. We need you. That's what I would say. We need you. We need Julius Randle to be the 1A guy. But we need you, Mr. Ball Handler. And by you, I'm not talking to Lonzo Ball. I'm talking to you, Bradley Beal and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, this is what they need. One star.
Well, the problem is you bring in Lonzo Ball, you still need the shooter.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's gotten much better, right? Yeah. He has improved.
Yeah.
But you would still need the plus one. Let's call it what it is. You're two guys away from really being –
You know what you do? You get in that Knicks store. They go, where are we going? We're going to go Pacific Northwest. Where are we going? We're going to Damian Lillard's house. All right, let's go. We got to make a trade. Hey,
so
listen,
question.
What we're going to do is you guys get out here. You play, all right, Rose and Quickly, you guys get out. And you know what? You get out too, Kevin Knox. You were a guy we took in the lottery. Doesn't play for us anymore. You get out too. And you know what? Let's get a couple of the guys to get out. And we're going to take Damian Lillard with us. And you guys stay here. And you play for the Blazers. That's what we're going to do. They're that one guy away. That's what they're that one scorer away. And everybody sees it. All the big stars see it. I can go be a big star. New York is safe now. I can go there. I don't have to worry about going there to being the end of my career or just being someone that collects cash and I can't wait to get out. I can be that guy. And no, it's not you, Carmelo Anthony. You're done. You're too old. But somebody else can be that guy. And it's suddenly, I can go in. I can be the savior of New York.
That works out.
My team.
I've got an idea for your traveling road show too.
Oh, gimme! I like it. We got music.
Ready?
What do you got?
Well, that's just it. The music doesn't start again live till September 18th at the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion. I had to make sure that I've never heard. I don't know the Bank of New Hampshire. I'm sure they do quite well in New Hampshure. Guilford, New Hampshire, Ace Frehley is the opener for Alice Cooper, which means we've got a couple of months right now where he is not on tour, so you can bring Back in the New York Groove. And maybe
that.
He'll sing Love Gun. You can do it live to try to woo these prospective free agents. I think we've got something here.
Hey, let me tell you this. You know who's playing the Bank of New Hampshire Pavilion on Saturday?
Who's that?
Grace Potter.
How about that?
All right. I'm excited now. It looks like it seats about a couple thousand, maybe 1,500, maybe. I don't know.
That's all right. Hey. It's fine.
It's got a few. But that's it. That's all. I mean, I'm bummed. I'm bummed that this is Marv's last Knicks game. He's probably walking off the air going now going, that horrible piece of crap. My last Knicks game ever. Time out, Marv. I want to talk it over. He's got to be walking away going, all my life broadcasting these games, I get Julius Randle and the Knicks throwing up on themselves in the first round. Timeout, Marv, once again. Of a full timeout, not a 20-second. I feel bad for Marv. I feel bad. But I just feel, look, all right, we weren't going to win the title anyway. And it's all right. It's all right because just that, I mean it, it's that one player. And when you are a destination, it's easy to get that guy. There's going to be players saying, hey, get me to the Knicks. When did you ever think that was going to happen? Get me to the Knicks. They're one guy. That's all it is. And I don't know who that guy is, but there's many people it can be. It can be a trade. It can be free agency. It can be a lot of things. But someone who can score, a star that you can say, hey, you're the small forward. You're a shooting guard. And, you know, RJ Barrett can move to small forward if they need him to. And positionless NBA, you can play him both at the same time. It doesn't matter. And this will work, and it'll be a thing, and suddenly it's, wait, the Knicks went from being, hey, they were a nice story, they go out in the first round, to, hey, we got to worry about the Knicks winning the NBA title now. Suddenly, I can't believe that's happening. We got to worry about the Knicks winning the NBA title. That's where they're going to be. And I'm confident that is going to happen. I am confident.
Well, I got to say this. I just, you know, you mentioned Marv, and I got to say, Marv, if this was the last game, obviously it was his last Knicks game, but if this was it, he went out in much finer fashion than the last couple of times. Yeah, still a couple of misidentifications of players, but more energy and excitement. And he felt like he grabbed a little bit of that Garden energy for tonight. There was earlier in the series, like, he was just being absolutely bloodied on social media, as folks are wont to do anyway, but just the, all right, he's announced he's done, why isn't he done? And really getting mean about it, again, as social media will do. But I thought tonight it was a nice rebound, and he got the love from a lot of the blue checkmark NBA writers, you know, watching the games and certainly the fans, I think, giving it an appreciation for all that he's been for the game as a broadcaster of our lives, right? Because we grew up listening to Marv and wish him well.
You know, and you say that, and then Marv's going to finish and unplug his headset and look at the scores going on, going, the Dodgers had 11 runs in the first inning against the Cardinals. They're going to outscore the freaking Knicks tonight. Oh, timeout, Marv. I want to throw my phone in the ocean. I mean, that's, I'm really, it's, just tonight. That's tonight. Hey.
Knicks show.
The Knicks lose. The Knicks lose, but it was a great run. Hey, they entertained us. They were great. It's like a TV show that ends. It's like on the final episode of How I Met Your Mother. Oh, it's so sad. Oh, it's the end of an era.
Yeah, but would you renew this Knicks team? No, you wouldn't. You'd have a bunch of cast changes. You'd introduce a couple of new characters. Sure? There's no way. It might change networks do now. I mean, it's not coming back in that same time slot right now. No. Not without some retooling.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We got more on the NBA coming up. It's a big night tonight. We already saw the 76ers move on. We got a big blowout going on right now. And then we got the Clippers and the Mavs coming up. Oh boy. How do I feel about the Clippers? My pick to go to the NBA Finals. I'm a little more confident in them after they won the last two, but how much more? We got that coming up next, as well as, hey, oh, by the way, the best head coach in college basketball says one more year and I am retiring. A huge story coming up next right here, Fox Sports Radio. AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99. Where was the Knicks replacement battery? And they're the only place you can find proven, tough, Duralast batteries. So, next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution and America's number one battery destination.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And it sounded like Marv Albert was ready to jump in at the beginning of the segment. I'm out, Jason Smith. Mike, he and Mike Harmon want to talk it over.
Oh!
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. We'll get to Coach K coming up in a second. Right now, we got a huge blowout on our hands. Looks like Utah is in complete control of this game over the Grizzlies, 54-34 midway through the second quarter. The Jazz may have 80 by halftime in this game. I mean, they may hit 80 by halftime. And that's being pretty generous here, right? They got 56 already. They can get to 80 here, and it's been a big effort around the horn. It's Mitchell with 17 leading the way. Gobert only has 6, but this has been a big, big night for the Jazz so far.
Shooting 63% from the field, 50% from three-point range. Turned up the audio on the game a little bit earlier, and they were talking about Donovan Mitchell, and they used the Giannis Antetokounmpo quote from the closeout. He's not playing with his food. He just wants to end this series. You know, what's funny is, you know, you talk about the robust shooting effort of the Jazz. You have Jordan Clarkson is 2 of 8, 0 for 5 from 3. Not enough to weigh it down, not enough to slow down what has been an onslaught against this Memphis Grizzlies team. Great effort by them through the series, a lot of energy. I don't even know if there's a run left, but hey, you know what? That's why they have to play the games out. You don't get to go to the locker room early. Oh, I'm sorry. 56-37, 7:02 remaining in the second.
I see what you did there. Meanwhile, the Clippers and the Mavericks just underway at Staples Center. 14-9. Dallas with the lead. We'll have more on this game coming up in a bit. But Marv Albert, you know, the soundtrack to all of our lives, retiring after this playoffs as an NBA play-by-play man, most known for his years covering the Knicks and being the play-by-play voice of the Knicks. Well, here's the final call of Marv Albert's last Knicks game he will ever call.
And here's that standing ovation and applause I was talking about.
Now the Hawks take the series in 5, winning 2 of the games here at the Garden. Atlanta's first playoff series win since the first round in 2016 for Nate McMillan's first playoff win since 2005, back in his days at Seattle. Thanks to our producer Tom Heitz, our director Andrew Greathouse, and our statistician Brian Taylor. Coming up, it's the Mavericks and the Clippers in Game 5 for Reggie Miller and the rest of the TNT crew. Marv Albert saying goodnight. You've been watching the NBA playoffs on TNT.
Oh, he couldn't get in one Knicks yo at the end.
And the Knicks. Yes. The Knicks. Yes.
There it is. The last game he will ever call.
I had to call Trae Young shushing the crowd for 5 straight games. I can't stand the guy. I can't stand. He shushes everybody. He's shushing the reporters who want to interview him at the end of the game. He's shushing the guy who cleans up the floor when players fall down. I can't take it. I'm done, Reggie Miller. You take us home.
Throws the headset down. That's it, man. That's Marv's last Knicks game. That's it. That's the last time he'll call the Knicks. Maybe, when the Knicks do go in and they're playing in the finals next year, they'll call him out of retirement to call the NBA finals.
After the super
maybe
team is
happen.
Formed and the next era of Knicks basketball begins. I was waiting for a parting shot talking about how Clint Capella had backed up his tough talk and owned the Garden. Trey Young doing his bows as though he were a great performer. Boy, I saw Elton John perform here many times through the years.
Even the Elton of the 80s, which wasn't quite the Elton of the 70s. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Daniel, my brother, are you older than me? Do you still feel the pain? Daniel,
It's funny, though, because I was actually having this conversation with my brother earlier, talking about, you know, what rabbit holes musically we've gone down. And he was laughing, saying on his Spotify, he got a notice. Congratulations, you were in the top 5% of Jethro Tull listeners this month, which I thought was kind of funny. And I go, it's funny because I've gone down the Elton John rabbit hole on my Apple Music, where I've got all of these albums that are now part of the list, and there's so much crap from the 80s. So the fact that you referenced the 80s as a downtime, he released a lot of material. Most of it you'd never heard.
Yep, not exactly what Elton John had in mind for his follow-up decade. I'm Still Standing, his big hit of the 80s. Don't forget Nikita, which came out in 1987. Yes, on Elton John.
Could have gone Billy Joel, but I thought Elton John was a little more off the radar there.
The Stranger, one of the most underrated albums of all time. Billy, standing on the album cover, in those big boots, getting ready to throw a stone at a glass house from the Glass Houses LP that came out as well. That was after The Stranger. Time out, Billy Joel. He wants to make a new piano solo.
The Knicks have been a stranger to the playoffs.
Now, he's not Berman. That would be Berman calling the Knicks. Berman calling the Knicks as Billy Joel getting knocked
out of
the
playoffs. It was just a good one-liner. I couldn't let it sit there.
No. That was a good one. That's it for Marv. Marv has called his last Knicks. But, I mean, when they're in the finals next year, they'll call him out of retirement. He'll come in and call the final game. He'll call
the
final game.
Does he come out and throw out a first pitch? What do you want him to do?
No, he's gonna whoever's doing the game, like Mike Breen or whoever it is gonna step aside, and Marv's gonna come in and sit down next to Reggie Miller and say, Reggie, you take tonight off. I got this, okay? Go and just hang out with Shaq. Maybe you can be in a new General commercial. Yes, I got this myself, all by myself. That's what he's gonna do.
Would Breen actually eat the squirrel? That's the question.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Carr. I mean, it's the last Knicks game that Marv you're ever going to hear.
It's crazy.
The last names he's mentioning is the, hey, Marv, what did you, you know, if you said to Marv, like, you know, 30 years ago, hey, what do you expect your last Knicks game to be like? He's going to say, oh, I expect, you know, all these different things in it. And instead, it turned out to be, and thanks to our statistician, Joe Woodley, and our spotter, Tim Kiley. Now we go to the Clippers and the Mavericks. You don't expect that to be your last words. The last names he's mentioning, it's the statistician and the spotter.
Well, that's good, though. Giving them some love, giving the national run. I mean, you got to be respectful to your crew. It's like we do each and every night. You got to make sure you give some love to Alex Teichert and Ryan Bershinger, Justin Frostberg on the couch watching the Clippers and rooting against them, and of course, Brian Fenley in the update studio, our crack editing staff, everybody at Fox Sports Radio. We appreciate you every night.
Now, hey, listen, wait. Now, I love everybody we work with, buddy. I love everybody.
That was good, though.
I love everybody.
You are fake news.
There's no way the last words I'm going to say in my final broadcast are going to be Alex Teichert and Ryan Bershinger. There's just
no way. Mine's going to be see all in hell. I'm done.
That's happening. And thanks to Alex Teichert on the ones and twos and Ryan Bershinger. Yes, for everything. No, that's not going to be my last word. It's crazy.
I had a good run. I'll see you in hell.
And now get ready for the Mike Harmon Show. Yes. And the foul. No, that's not how I'm going out. Not how I'm going to do it. Really. Make sure. I mean, if anybody could have said something at the end where he could have said whatever the hell he wanted to, it was Marv Albert right there. I mean, yes, he's going to do more games because he's not retiring yet. But, you know, he's synonymous with the Knicks. It's the last Knicks game. What do you want to say?
And I'd like to say a couple of things. Patrick Ewing, you failed miserably a couple of times. Carmelo Anthony, way overpaid. Steve Novak, you lost a lot of money by not being good in the playoffs. Latrell Sprewell, you could have made a couple of more shots in 1999. Pat Riley, you could have beaten the Bulls at least once. Charles Smith could have dunked it instead of getting blocked 11 times. Now I'm done. Blank you, Knicks. I'm out.
I mean, I was going to say, you had to have a parting shot for either James Dolan and or Phil Jackson.
Oh, boy. That would have been the way to go out. That's the way for Marv to go out right there. That would have been it.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
The big news today in college basketball, Mike Krzyzewski calling it quits, retiring at the end of this coming season for the Duke Blue Devils. Now, this is it's not something that is shocking because if you can see Coach K the last few years, you could tell things may have been wearing on him. You could see how short he was sometimes in post-game press conferences. You could tell he was coming to the end. But, you know, what am I going to tell you about Coach K that you haven't heard, you don't know about him, how great a coach he is, all of these things. So let me tell you something a little bit different because I'll tell you exactly what college basketball is going to miss the most from Mike Krzyzewski. They are going to miss his class, right? Because for a sport that has been dotted with corruption, with a revolving door of players coming in, playing a year, going to the NBA for a while, players are going right to the NBA. We didn't get any kind of college career for some players. College basketball has lost its place on the mantle and really just has March. You know, college basketball is a much bigger slice of the pie, but because of the bad headlines and because players are coming and getting to the NBA right away, you can't hook into one player for very long because you know he's not going to be there. So being a college basketball fan is a little bit tougher. It's much more regionalized where you root for your team, but are you really paying attention to the rest of college basketball like you used to? No. Are big games, hey, you know, tonight's Michigan State, Michigan, is that a must-watch as it used to be? No, it's not. College basketball has struggled. And so right now, the sport basically owns March. And it's always going to own March because the tournament it just supersedes everything else going on. Everybody gets into it. It's not even a sporting event. It's an event for the world. But college basketball used to be a 5 or 6 month thing. But they're going to miss his class because for the longest time, when college basketball was going through trouble, they were always able to point to Duke and say, Coach K and Duke, this is who we really are in college basketball. Right. This is who we are. Everything else falls under the umbrella and certain bad headlines and wiretaps with the FBI and whether it's Sean Miller in Arizona or someplace else. No, we really are about Duke. We're all about Duke. Coach K is our biggest coaching star. Duke is our biggest star team. and they would always hold them up, and that was the tentpole of college basketball. Whatever it was, Duke is still at the top. How is Duke doing? They were the one story that cut through, and how they were playing, and whether you love Duke or hated Duke, they were a big story. And now Coach K is going to go. And now college basketball is going to be laid bare. And instead of saying, okay, now who is college basketball? Who is it? And now it's going to be even more fragmented across the country because you don't have that one program, that one coach that personified the sport. I mean, you still have a couple of rock star coaches there, but really, you know, look, as much as Syracuse moves the needle in college basketball, they're not Duke. You know, and if Jim Boeheim retires, it'll be a big deal, but it's not going to be exactly what Coach K retiring from Duke is. And this is a guy that won more championships than anybody not named John Wooden. And the way he did it year after year, bringing players in and players graduating, and then, okay, he's rolling with the times where players were leaving early. Still, Duke was competitive all the way through. They always had that class. And if you didn't like Mike Krzyzewski, well, you were arguing with stuff about basketball. Like, he didn't like when players ran on the court or, you know, when players were celebrating too much. I mean, it was stuff that sure. you didn't argue with Coach K for anything that was out of bounds. It was just, okay, your desire of what you think is good for college basketball, what is it? He's a protector of the game. And now, college basketball is naked without him. And they're not going to realize how much they're going to miss him until he goes, because then it's going to be, what is our sport? Well, our sport is kind of all over the place right now, and we don't have that team or that coach to point to and say, hey, college basketball is this. They're not going to have that, and they're going to really struggle.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've often made fun of some of the, you know, finger wagging and get off my lawn-dom. And some of the report today was that the imminent changes for name, image, likeness, and how that's going to change up the game was part of the decision process to say, okay, it's time to go. Because it is venturing into a new world. But to your point, the college coaches have been the rock stars. We had that for forever, right, with college football. Guys that were on the sidelines probably 10 years longer than they were actually coaching. But they were names. They were the guys that stirred the drink. Likewise, Coach K, and we'd already seen Roy Williams retire. Those are two of the faces that were always out front, you know, trying to preach about doing the things the right way, not embroiled in a bunch of scandal. I mean, North Carolina had its issues, but, you know, I don't think those got covered nearly as much as they should have. You know, academic fraud somehow didn't rise to the level of anything else, which is kind of curious to me, considering what we're talking about. But in the end, you know, you got a guy leaving with almost 1,200 career wins. You mentioned Boeheim, right? So you've got him. You've got Bob Huggins is still going, and you got Tom Izzo. Like, those are your three guys. You got Patino and Coach Cal. You still got the, you know, a quintet of big time coaches, but it's also a reminder, like we're doing with Marv Albert and the number of broadcasters, Dick Stockton and everything, you know, the inevitable shift in our time frames and recognizing, hey, not only did we get older, so did they, and the game changes. So, yeah, it'll be a huge loss, and Duke is always the one team that you looked at on the bracket, how soon can I have them losing? Or if you were a Duke fan, how far can I get them realistically to go? And then you watched every agonizing minute one way or the other. And if you had any Duke people in your life, well, you knew not to listen to them or talk to them for 6 months out of the year. But it was it's been a fun run. You know, the Polish kid from Chicago, as he always referred to himself, with the last name nobody could spell. Fantastic run for both Duke and college basketball, but obviously Team USA as well. So pivotal to what that program has been.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smiths are with Mike Carmen. I mean, the college basketball isn't going to really understand how much they're going to miss him until he goes. There's no such thing as a good excuse for not buckling up. Law enforcement are writing tickets, so why take the risk? Do the smart thing and start buckling up every trip, day or night. Click it or ticket, paid for by NHTSA. Well, coming up next, we got more from the NBA, including, after huge news today, what one big-time team you are not going to recognize next year, because there's going to be all kinds of changes with new stars coming in and old stars leaving, and no, it's not the Knicks.
Cleveland!
It's not Cleveland. I said star franchise, not the Cavaliers and Mark Price and Brad Daugherty. Time out. Craig Elo wants to... Okay, that's coming up next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio. Yes.
All right. We'll have more on Marv in a few minutes. My wife just opened the door and said, if you're going to talk like Marv Albert tonight, let me know so I can go all the way into the living room and hang out there. And I said, yes!
There it is. You found the proper repellent.
There it is. That's what it is.
Yes, and the living room. Get far away from me tonight.
So a big day in the NBA today as Danny Ainge resigns as president of the Boston Celtics. He is going to be succeeded immediately by current head coach Brad Stevens, who is now getting kicked upstairs to run the team. And as Brad Stevens said today, his mission is to win the Celtics' next championship or die trying. So I got to win number 18 or die trying. All right, then. Well, it's okay. Good luck.
Sure, he's not going to go to Duke after a year.
Well, not now, apparently. And now you know why he didn't go to Duke. Oh, I'm going to get to run the Celtics. Yeah. Then I'm not going to Duke. I'm not going there. That's fine. I'm not going to Indiana. No. I'm not going there. No, I'm going to get to run the team.
Better job than Indiana. Absolutely.
So Stevens is going to get to run the Celtics now, and the search for a new head coach is coming up soon. But I will tell you this. You are not going to recognize the Celtics next season. All right, outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who are going to be your cornerstones, everybody's available, and there's going to be a whole new mix of players. They will find a way to move on from Kemba Walker. He missed 29 games, the last two playoff games. He's got 2 years and $73 million left on that deal. Knicks, some team is going to want to get in on him. Marcus Smart is getting the final year of his contract. Evan Fournier, who they got at the deadline, he's going to be a free agent. So all these players that have been part of this Celtics team and been the backbone of this team the last 4 or 5 years, where they got close to being a title contender but never did it, they're going to completely remake this team. I mean, all these guys are going to be gone. They're going to find a way to bring in another star. You're not going to recognize the Celtics next year because they have to. You know, they have no choice. They can't just keep going and saying, well, you know, Brad Stevens is going to jump in here. I'm going to dip my toe in the waters. We're going to go through another year with Walker and Marcus Smart. No, that's not going to happen. They are going to remake the team. They will be aggressive in free agency. They will be aggressive in making trades and try to find the right fit in Boston. I mean, outside of Tatum and Jaylen Brown, everybody else can be gone after this year. It's going to be an entirely new team because he's got to do it. Because Danny Ainge, as you know, look, it was a successful era with the Celtics. When it would come down to trades or making moves, Danny Ainge always seemed like he was in. Oh, I might make a deal, but then never would. I just want you to know that I'm in it to make a deal, but I'm never going to actually do it. But hey, just mention my team. I made a couple of phone calls. Maybe we're aggressive. Maybe we sign this big. Maybe we make this big trade. He never was. He always wanted to seem like he was in it more than he wanted to make big moves. The Celtics will make big moves in the offseason.
Well, you start getting aggressive, and for Danny Ainge, the departure comes just days after the controversy of not being able to read the room, listen to your players, listen to the locker room, read what may have transpired, you know, and being out of touch with things. So he departs. Stevens' firestorm certainly starts, saying, why is he qualified there if he can't coach him up and get him over? It's like, hey, look, we have to deal with what is. You want to go and try to ferret out reasons why he gets promoted at 44 and still seemingly a lot of coaching left in his blood, then that's for you. But he wants to build empire using the 50 Cent reference of, you know, die trying and all that, and then you roll. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think this roster's going to look anywhere near the same. You've got two guys that are stars and everybody else piece. Fournier was pretty good for them. But, you know, you start breaking it down, looking at salaries and trying to rebuild, going up against the other teams in the East, and now knowing that you're probably going to have to compete with the Knicks.
Yeah.
How about that? Look at that. You didn't even go that far. You didn't even go that far. That you're competing with the Knicks.
They're not even as good as the Knicks. They're not even as good as the Knicks. They're not.
If Jaylen Brown was healthy, they were a better team than the Knicks.
Stop.
Of course, there's the ifs and buts. I hate those.
The Knicks had somebody better than Julius Randle. Oh, listen, hey, big news from Lakerland coming up next, Fox.